Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the book of James, the third chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Hear now God's word to you today. James writes, "Who is wise and knowledgeable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly. It is unspiritual and it is devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom that comes from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, by those who make peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of Christ, may your shalom abide within us. May your peace rule in our hearts. Create in us a space in the busyness of our minds, in the burdens of our hearts, to sit with you, Holy One, that we may know you, that we may hear you, that we may abide with you, and that we may trust you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, Almighty God. Amen. Our fruit of the Spirit that we are focusing on this morning is a well-known fruit. It's a fruit we all need and we all know is missing when it's not in our fruit bowl. Perhaps when you make your grocery list, there is one fruit that you always buy and you always know when you're without. That's the kind of fruit we're talking about today. And that fruit is peace. When our homes don't feel peaceful, we know it. When our workplaces aren't peaceful, we know it, and then we bring that feeling home. When our daily lives are lacking of feelings of peace, of the nutrients of peace, we feel it. I wish I had had the foresight to have given you an assignment prior to this morning to ask you to have been thinking about peace in your daily life, and to go about looking for it. Something I might encourage you to do now as you leave this place today is to try to take some time every day to think about and to be looking for peace. As I have been doing that over the past month in preparation for today, I've discovered that actually peace is everywhere. It's actually not so hard to find if you are aware of it. I've discovered that it is something that is deep inside each of us. It cannot be acquired or gleaned or purchased. It's internally there, even when chaos and unrest surrounds us. Fred Rogers once said, "When I say it's you I like, I'm talking about that part of you that knows that life is more than anything you can ever see or touch or hear. That deep part of you that allows you to stand for those without which humankind cannot survive. Love that conquers hate, peace that requires triumph over war, and justice that proves more powerful than greed. It's a profound thing to say that all human beings have this spiritual gift within us. Every one of us has the potential for peace. That is a radical notion. This is what James is saying in our epistle reading this morning. James's argument is that there are two kinds of wisdom. And the kind of wisdom that comes from Christ is the one that is of the person who is peaceful or a peacemaker. It's one that shows you and everyone else that you are a child of God. But on the other hand, if you are always arguing, always causing contention and strife and fighting with other people, it shows the opposite. It shows that you are not being controlled by the Spirit of God at all. Now, if I was going to have James over to my house, I would serve him some decaffeinated tea. I just don't think James was that much of an excitable kind of guy. I would have James over and we would sit down for tea and I would ask him and I would remind him that this requirement of knowing who Christ is or being in Christ requires being a peaceful person. I would say to him, but James, have you seen the news? Is he aware that according to the Institute on Economics and Peace, we are living in an increasingly less peaceful world? I might pull out my copy of the Global Peace Index, as everyone has, and quote from the summary page. And I would say, now, James, look at this. This year's results show that the average level of global peacemaking deteriorated by 0.7% over the past year. This is the 12th consecutive year that global peacefulness has deteriorated, and the 15th deterioration in the last 18 years. Of the 163 countries on the index, 99 deteriorated in peacefulness, and 62 have improved. And there are now 119 countries that are less peaceful than they were in 2008. Moreover, James, let me tell you about gun violence in our communities. Let me tell you about domestic violence in our neighborhoods. Let me introduce you to words, James, that you've never even heard of before. Words like road rage, cyber attacks, online bullying, and then just the random acts of violence that no one knows how to categorize. What do you make sense of that, James? If the Holy Spirit has given us this spirit, this potential, if we all have peace within us, why aren't we using it? Why is it so hard for us to obtain? Why do we trivialize it? Sure, we want world peace, like that is ever going to happen. Think miscongeniality, right? I just want world peace, right? If peace is something that abides in us, why is it so hard? Why is it so hard for us to find that peace within us? If it's in us, why can't we obtain it? One reason peace might be so hard for us is because it requires vulnerability. Prophet Isaiah says that the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, the cow and the bear, they shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in its outer's den. They will not destroy on all my holy mountain. This is a vision. This is Isaiah's vision of a peaceable kingdom. This is a vision of God's kingdom initiated through a royal child like no other. And it is a vision of being vulnerable with each other, particularly those who might devour you. It's a radical idea, sleeping with the so-called enemy while living in peace without fear. Peace requires vulnerability. If we want to acquire peace, we need to be willing to be vulnerable. Another reason I think peace feels out of reach is because we have a hard time reaching out. We have a hard time realizing that we are connected with one another. We live in an ever-growing, isolating, bubble-making tribal culture. Could it be that our increase in violence and peaceful unrest is directly related to our increase in isolation? The Dalai Lama seemed to think so. In his speech for the Nobel Peace Prize, he said, "Because we all share this small planet Earth, we have to learn to live in harmony and peace with one another and with nature. This is not just a dream, but a necessity. We are dependent upon each other in so many ways. We can no longer live in isolated communities and ignore what is happening outside these communities. As interdependent, therefore, we have no choice than to develop what I call a sense of universal responsibility, that today we are truly a global family." Acquiring peace requires community. A third reason that the peace fruit seems to be shriveling in our society is because I think we are less connected to the earth than we ever have been before. The earth is literally on fire today in Europe, and the sky was a dystopian red all across the north and east coast last month. Countless animals and trees were killed as fires burned out of control. Yesterday on NPR, they reported that they are fighting over water in Arizona and Colorado. We have lost our connection with the earth in our climate-controlled homes, our bountiful grocery stores, and our overstocked warehouses. In his speech to the United Nations, the venerable monk on the floor, after his community famously walked from Texas to Washington, D.C. earlier this year, said, "We must care for the animals. We must recognize the deep interconnection of all of life. From a Buddhist perspective, all sentient beings share the experience of fear and pain and the desire to live. Animals, like humans, seek safety and comfort and freedom from suffering. Yet in many parts of the world today, countless animals endure suffering through neglect, exploitation, and unnecessary harm. When we reflect deeply, we begin to see that compassion cannot be selective. If compassion is genuine, it naturally extends beyond human boundaries. To cultivate kindness towards animals is not separate from cultivating kindness towards humans. It is part of the same moral and spiritual development. When we harm other beings unnecessarily, we lose our own sensitivity. When we protect life, we refine our awareness and strengthen our capacity for empathy. A society that respects life in all its forms is a society that moves closer to true harmony. When nature is degraded, all being suffers. When ecosystems collapse, human society also becomes unsustainable. When humanity lives without mindfulness towards the environment, suffering eventually follows all beings. Please know that caring for the earth is also an act of great compassion. Acquiring peace requires being connected to the earth and the environment within which we live. So James, I would conclude, for our tea is getting cold and I have been monopolizing most of the conversation for a while now. I want you to see that peace is an uphill battle for us. We are an anxious people. Americans are telling us that anxiety remains a part of daily life, coming from many directions at once, including financial pressures, safety concerns, and rapid technological change. It is hard to sit with peace when anxiety takes all the chairs. And I know what you are thinking, James. I know that I just gave all the answers to our problems, that if we could be vulnerable, if we could be in relationship with our neighbors, and if we could be connected and care for the environment, then our anxiety would decrease, and our likelihood of peacefulness and being at peace with one another would increase. But James, we are a stubborn people, and we think that we can somehow forge on and handle all of this ourselves. Maybe we cannot do it on our own. Maybe we need to remember that we need not rely on our own personal strength and conviction and persistence to obtain peace. We need to rely on the peace of Christ, because the peace of Christ is unwavering. The peace of Christ is unfaltering, and the peace of Christ is sustaining. The peace of Christ is not like the peace as the world gives, which is merely the temporary absence of conflict or merely external tranquility, but rather it is shalom. Rather, it is a lasting inner state of serenity, trust, and reconciliation with God. It is a peace that transcends the difficulties and challenges of life and provides a solace and strength in the very midst of our trials. As someone once said, faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is being okay no matter how things turn out. Do you think peace requires us to end war? Or tigers eating only vegetables? Does peace require an absence from your boss, your spouse, yourself? Do you think peace will come some other place than here, some other time than now, in some other heart than yours? Peace is this moment without judgment. That is all. This moment in the heart space where everything that is welcome. Peace is this moment without thinking that it should be some other way, that you should feel some other thing, that your life should unfold according to your plans. Peace is this moment without judgment, this moment in the heart space where everything is welcome. This is a fruit that we cannot waste. Peace of Christ is a gift. It is ours to receive and share in a world in such desperate need of it. May we find the courage, the strength, and the support for the many witnesses, and above all, may the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.